Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. We'll begin with something that is sometimes a nuisance in our day-to-day lives, traffic and dealing with it. While most of the time it goes pretty well, there are times we are stuck in traffic, inconvenienced by construction and detours, or confused by signage. In fact, we have a long list of questions we solicited from listeners and visitors to our website, most centered on Missouri issues, and that's our focus today. We'll deal with Metro East traffic in a subsequent program. With me in studio to answer your questions about traffic and our highways and byways are Tom Blair, the Assistant District Engineer for the Missouri Department of Transportation, MoDOT, Deanna Venker, St. Louis City Traffic Commissioner, David Roan is Public Information Manager for St. Louis County's Departments of Transportation and Public Works. Thanks very much for coming in, folks, and being with us today.
You bet.
I'm sure there's a lot of interest in this. Almost everybody's on the street at one time or another, aren't they? Let me ask the same question to each of you. And, Deanna, I'll start with you.
Sure.
What questions do you get most in the city about traffic?
Usually revolves around signal timing and why do they have to wait so long. So, you know, there's a lot of work that goes into that and a lot of engineering goes into that. And it's usually until somebody sits down with an engineer where they have time to explain, you know, how many legs there are in an intersection, and each intersection gets a minimum of 15 seconds, and then you add that up. And so now you're over 60 seconds, and they wonder why they have to wait so long. So those are those things that it just takes a lot of there's time. And then in order to coordinate them, you have to kind of pick your worst intersection first,
right,
and you coordinate it for that intersection. So that may determine how long the cycle length is for some of those signal corridors. So it could be in upwards of 2 minutes in order to get that main traffic through on some of these big arterials.
In other words, it's not an arbitrary decision.
No.
Absolutely.
No, it's not.
Tom, I'll turn to you next. What are the questions you're getting most?
Yeah, I agree with Deanna. Everyone wants green, and two minutes seems like 4 minutes.
Yeah.
But beyond that, I think we do get a lot of those questions. That's our number one blue light special, if you will. Beyond that, I'd say we get a lot of calls about our work zones. And our traffic work zones, especially on our interstates in the St. Louis region, really impact people's lives. So we're constantly answering questions about our work zones and what's going on. Why are we doing this? Why do I or do I not see people working?
Do people ever call and say, thank you for doing a good job?
Sometimes.
Really?
We usually do share. That happens infrequent enough that we do share that amongst our team because it doesn't happen on a regular basis.
Yeah, I would think most of what you're dealing with are complaints or nuisance issues.
Yeah, for the most part.
David, how about you?
Like Deanna and Tom, we field a wide variety of calls on a wide variety of subjects. Signals are certainly a popular theme. However, we also receive questions about individual roads. When are you going to repair this road? When are you going to restore this road? Of course, if you live or drive on a road, you want it to be a perfect 10. However, there are financial constraints, and we have a system in place to determine what gets fixed and when. And that's sometimes difficult or frustrating for our customer base, but it's just the reality of what we do for a living.
People take it very personally, don't they? I mean, they're focused on issues that affect them at the end of their block or the middle of their street.
Certainly, absolutely. And we understand that, but we've got to approach this from a big picture scenario. You know, we've got South County, we've got West County, we've got Mid County, we've got North County, all of them vying for the same limited dollars.
And you've got a number of highways that are passing through as well. How often, Tom, I'll put this to you, how well and how often do you coordinate amongst each other? I mean, you're all dealing with the same basic issues.
I'd say constantly.
Yeah.
Almost 24/7. I mean, it definitely, if something's happening, it's 24/7. So we're always working together with the city street team as well as St. Louis County street team.
And Dan, go ahead.
Yeah, I would agree with Tom here. We, in the city side, we have every other month meetings just to do our planning for projects, big projects, let each other know what's going on. We do coordination meetings for all these special events that happen downtown, and that's on a daily, weekly basis with MoDOT and the county. So it is a constant thing. They're on my speed dial. You can look.
Really? How about coordinating with Illinois? I mean, particularly in the city, you've got that traffic coming and going across the river.
Well, I'll tell you, a lot of that falls under MoDOT right there because they've got most of the bridges that connect in with Illinois. But I still have conversations. I have a letter on my desk right now from MIDOT this morning about a project up on 270 on the Chain of Rocks. that they're getting ready to start. So we're going to coordinate any studies that we have with them as they move forward on their study.
And Tom, let me come back to you, and then we'll start taking calls and answering some of our listener questions. How has the response been to the reconstruction on 6440? It's been a couple of years now. Are people happy with it?
Yeah, generally speaking, I mean, everybody is happy with it. And I think the St. Louis region really stepped up. The partners that I have with me here today stepped up and helped keep traffic flowing. It wasn't just MoDOT that made that success, and the region stepped up and realized that we could survive with a closure of a major interstate and allowed us to rebuild it. So, yeah, generally it's a great success.
If I may, on that same subject, I mean, that was a Herculean experience for all of us. I mean, it was a tremendous level of planning, meeting, discussion, I mean, years in advance of the actual act, and it couldn't have happened had we not had that cooperation. And I hesitate to use this word, but it was a teamwork in every sense of the word. It couldn't have worked had we not worked so closely with MoDOT and our other partners.
I'm sure you all remember the panic before this whole thing got started.
Carmageddon.
Yeah. Absolutely. The world was coming to an end, but it worked out surprisingly smoothly, yes, I think,
right,
given what was going on.
I think that's where a lot of our partnerships have really developed from, especially between the city and the state and even the county, although we work with the county quite frequently as well. So, you know, a lot of our signal corridor systems that we have, nobody knows that there's an actual county-city line there or state-city-county line. So we have to make that seamless work, you know.
There is some confusion on the part of the driving public. Yeah. As you mentioned, we've got several major state highways running throughout St. Louis County that St. Louis County really has nothing to do with in terms of maintenance. But there's a perception, well, it's in St. Louis County. Mm-hmm. Why aren't you answering this question?
I do hear people complain about some of the mergers onto Highway 6440 in our area, in the city, mm-hmm. and also in the county, that it's very abrupt, that the traffic is narrowed, and it's difficult to get on the highway. I think of the Brentwood area and coming east on 6440. If you're not in the right lane, you can be shuttled off to Brentwood when you don't want to be, that sort of thing. Are these issues that can be dealt with, or are they a problem?
Well, they're definitely, you know, anytime any of our users contact us and say, hey, here's my problem, it's definitely a problem to them. So we're always looking to listen to all of our users and try to address them. I-64, definitely we have to all remember where it was and where it is today. Mm-hmm. A massive improvement. Does it still have areas that we can tweak and stuff moving forward? Absolutely.
If you can find the money to do the tweaking,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, a lot of it comes down to funding and priorities. I mean, we have other sections of our urban interstate that haven't even been touched.
Right.
So for us to spend more money along the I-64 corridor is a difficult challenge for the St. Louis region.
Well, I want to invite our listeners into the conversation at 382-8255. That's 382-TALK. You can send us an email to talk@stlpublicradio.org or send us a tweet at SDL on air. Let's bring in Sandra. She's already on the line from Bridgeton. Sandra, go ahead. You're on the – go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I actually just kind of have a message for other drivers. I drive the speed limit. I don't drive slower than the speed limit, but I do drive the speed limit. And I get so tired of people coming up behind me, and they flash their lights, and they do rude signals, and they're honking at me because I'm choosing not to break the law and speed.
Anyone want to deal with that? There's not much you can do about it from your office, is it?
Oh, I say God bless you. We need more of you.
Sandra, thank you. Thank you so much for the call. Here's a question that we received through our website. Is anything being done to help ease traffic tensions at the Hampton entry onto I-64 westbound? It is always a bottleneck. Why is congestion on I-64 the same after spending millions of dollars on redesign and rebuilding it? Anyone want to take the Hampton entry?
Well, I'll start with it. And again, this has been a teamwork project. So, yes, the reconstruction of I-64 was a MoDOT project, but it took the entire team and my partners here and others to make it happen. I-64 at Hampton, it continues to be it's better than it was. We all have to remember that. We all have to also probably grasp the reality that it's been so successful that we've attracted more users than we had before the reconstruction ever began. So there's, on average, from the numbers I see, there's about 25,000 more users a day along I-64 than there were when we rebuilt it. We continue to work with our Forest Park partners, the city team, as well as MoDOT, to try to educate everyone on other ways to get in and out of the park. So I know Deanna probably has lots to add to that because it is a partnership.
Yes. I mean, and we work with, as the city of St. Louis on Hampton, we work with MoDOT daily to make sure our signals are coordinated throughout the Hampton corridor. And we do have a lot of merging going on and off the highway there, especially between Kings Highway and all the way up to Big Bend. And that area, it is tough. And part of I-64 was a real challenge when we had a lot of public meetings, and the outcry was very clear that they wanted to keep a lot of the exits that existed. You know, normal spacing would give you, a mile in between interchanges, and we're looking at probably three interchanges within a mile. So there's going to be a lot of weaving back and forth.
So traffic's been increased by 25,000 a day in that area. Any sense of how many cars around that highway in the city county area in a given day?
I don't remember the exact number.
I
want to
say it's 80,000 to 90,000. Yeah. I can check that for you.
We can look it up for you real quick, Don. Yeah. But it is, as everyone knows, it drives, especially during those rush hour traffic, it is full.
Although I think we might be up to 100,000 across the Poplar. So
yeah. Really, it's incredible the amount of traffic that we have out there.
I'll say this, though. We are blessed. If you look at other cities, major metropolitan areas that aren't too far from here, our traffic flows smoothly in comparison.
Well, what's the biggest traffic problem in the county?
Well, you mentioned signalization earlier.
Yeah.
And there's a question often raised, well, why can't you give more green time to this particular signal?
Yeah.
The problem is the effect that such tweaking would have, say, a mile down the road on that same road. I could use Big Bend or Forest Park Parkway as an example. If you give 15 seconds more green time at intersection X with Forest Park Parkway, you might wind up putting 2 miles of traffic on the Interbelt. It's a cause and effect. It might seem like a simple thing. Well, just add green time, but it's more complex than that. There are effects that are you can't see unless you actually go ahead and make that mistake.
Okay, let's take another call. We'll bring in Barbara calling from Clayton. Go ahead, Barbara. You're on the air.
Thank you. I enjoy your show. I wanted to ask them about, we have one among the lowest gasoline taxes in the country, and we also have terrible problems with the roads and bridges. And I wanted to know, why the legislature has been so determined not to even raise these taxes, and how it would be a great benefit, I think, to everybody in this whole area. Thank you.
Yeah,
go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, I'll start. I'll give you some of the facts to make sure to reinforce what your caller is talking about. So, yes, in the state of Missouri, all three of us rely heavily on the state gas tax. We have one of the lowest state gas taxes in the country at 17 cents a gallon. That's a flat gasoline tax. That's the number one funding source for all of us to take care of and improve our roads and bridges that we often represent.
Unchanged for a couple of decades.
Yeah, right? Unchanged for about two decades now. So, yeah, it's been that way. So we, simply put, we as Missourians haven't increased our investment for 20 years, and we're one of the lowest invested states in our transportation system. Missouri legislature, to their credit, did put Amendment 7 out there, which was focused on a sales tax, not a gas tax. Went to the voted people, it failed. Currently, Missouri legislature is debating in Jefferson City a gas tax increase of 5.9 cents a gallon on both gas and diesel. So they do continue to debate it, just haven't got anything out of that Capitol building.
We will see. I have to take a break. We'll do that now. We're talking about traffic issues in the St. Louis metropolitan area. We'll continue the conversation with Tom Blair of MoDOT, David Roan of the St. Louis County Departments of Transportation and Public Works, and also Deanna Venker of the St. Louis City's Traffic Commissioner. Back to continue the conversation. Take more of your questions in a moment. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Now back to our guests, Tom Blair, David Roan, and Deanna Venker, talking about traffic in the St. Louis area. And before we continue, Deanna, you just came up with a stunning figure about the increased traffic on 6440 since the Reconstruction.
Yes, I was looking up our traffic volumes on I-64, and on I-64, right around 170, we're looking at 173,000 vehicles per day in that section. As you move towards the city, it starts to drop to 125,000, and then across the river, we're right at 100. But those numbers are almost double as what they were prior to 64 being reconstructed.
I guess it's testimony to the fact that it's working so very well. We don't really notice that.
Yeah, it's hard to notice it when the traffic volumes exceed what we actually designed it for and are that high. But yeah, in general, it's working well. But we all agree with all of our users that there are concerns there, and we're constantly working together to see what practical approaches. I know working with the city team that there's a lot of land use changes, such as some of the new interchanges that were just built in the last year or so that also help give access to and from and have some contributions, positive, and some that also add friction along that corridor. Yeah. But it's all overall, it's a good corridor. It's been a great improvement for the St. Louis transportation system.
I've got an email here from phone call, I should say. Tony joins us from Wildwood. Sorry, Tony, you're on the air. Go ahead. Tony?
Yes.
Go ahead. You're on the air.
Okay, great. My question is about Etherton Road. And this is the road that connects Chesterfield Valley to, Chesterfield and Wildwood area. Several months ago, it was closed due to all the flooding we had, and there was a landslide. And I know that they've been working on the road, but I would just like to know when that road would be reopened.
Thanks, Tony. David Rohn?
Hi, Tony. We've got a design project that will restabilize the hillside, which is our major concern about that issue. Our engineers are extremely worried that an additional slide will put more soil onto the road and create a very, very serious life safety issue for motorists in that region. Having said that, we're still optimistic that we'll have that project underway and the road reopened by late May or early June. That's our time frame at this point.
Thank you for the call. Here's one, Deanna, for you. Madonna emails, why was it necessary to take down the Kings Highway Bridge when the replacement steel and other materials were not ready to replace it?
Well, those things are part of the schedule of building a bridge. So in building the bridge, what you haven't seen going on right now is because they're all the works going on underground. So all the utility work, the MSD work that couldn't be done until the bridge was down has been working on. We've been doing that up to now. Over the past week, they've started drilling the sub-foundation so that the bridge will start coming out of the ground. And, yes, all the steel is in place ready to go for that. So, unfortunately, it's part of building a bridge. There's a lot of pre-work that goes into a bridge before you actually start coming out of the ground.
All righty. Well, thank you. What's the timetable on that?
We should have the Kings Highway Bridge open to traffic, not completed, but open to traffic at the by January 1st, and then we'll complete it next spring.
Good. Another call. Zachary joins us from Ferguson. Go ahead, Zachary.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Reason I'm giving you a call today is because you mentioned increased traffic flows are making it kind of difficult to keep up with road construction. So I wanted to ask if there were any plans to expand public transportation measures to reduce the amount of vehicles on the road.
All right. Who wants to take that?
Well, this is Tom. This is Tom with MoDOT. So I'll start. I mean, we're not really directly responsible for providing the public transportation, but we are. That is one of our partners that's not at the table today with us, but we all talk to public transportation. We work very diligently with Bi-State, or otherwise known as Metro, in our region. And I'm happy that we've all partnered together with them to open up their new North County transfer station. You know, and we do have, on the MoDOT side, we do have a I-270 North study that we're trying to wrap up now. And in that, Bi-State or Metro has been a very valuable partner. When that project gets completely funded, we do expect that will improve the accessibility to public transportation in the North County area. So I know my partners probably have other stories they can tell you about.
Yeah, we're in the process right now in the city of revamping the entire transfer station, the Metro at the 14th at the Civic Center. And that is going on right now, just started. So we just had to relocate everybody over to Clark Street. So it is underway now to really do a lot of enhancements at that station. But as far as I'll call like expanding their current system. I think it comes down to the almighty dollar.
Doesn't it always? Doesn't always. David, let me put this question to you, and the others can chime in if they want. We get a lot of questions and have received a lot of questions about bike traffic. There's a lot more of it these days. Is this becoming in any sense a headache, or is it somehow an advantage because it puts fewer cars on the road?
Well, we certainly don't view bike ridership as problematic. We work very closely with a number of agencies and groups throughout the St. Louis County region. Every time we approach a major road improvement project, we study closely for the possibility of including bike lanes or making a shared bike route on that project. So this is certainly something that we're cognizant of. We work very closely with groups that are bicycle-oriented, and we embrace that challenge.
I'll say, yeah. You know, we've talked a lot about the congestion on the roads, and part of the help, in addition to transit, is getting people to take alternative modes of transportation, and whether that's walking or biking or taking the bus or Metrolink, those are those other options that will help decrease the amount of traffic that is on the roads causing that kind of congestion. We can't build our way out of congestion. There's a limit. So, you know, for the cyclists that are on the roads, we want to provide them usable facilities that are safe. We want to give them room, and we all need to remember that, hey, when you see a cyclist, they're there and they're unprotected by a medical vehicle surrounding them. Then you need to give them the courtesy that they deserve as another rider. You just got to realize that they're not taking the space up on the road and allowing more traffic to, say, use that other space. So we all have to work together. We have to find a way to have complete streets within our realm and build and design facilities that work for all.
Right. Tom, I have a question here for you. It comes up every time we talk about traffic, and I'll be interested in your answer. 4064 seems to be the most ideal corridor for light rail. So many schools and medical buildings and shopping and dining out west. Would this ever be a possibility in the future?
Well, as Dee said, I think we can come to public transportation, and a lot of this comes down to the almighty dollar. The light rail system now parallels I-64. So the reality is it's not really for the region. It's not just MoDOT's decision. We don't provide that public transportation. But for the region hasn't decided that they want to put light rail down I-64. I think if we have the money to invest, I don't see us investing on an east-west corridor that parallels an existing light rail line.
Yeah. A lot of people have suggested putting the light rail right through the middle of the highway and take it straight out west, but that's very problematic, isn't it?
I mean, it can be done. I mean, the problem is with light rail, it's where do you want to get on and off at, and do you really want to get on and off in the middle of the highway?
Exactly. That's part of the big problem there. All right. Another call that an email, I should say. Matthew writes, what's going on with Southwest Avenue at McCausland and Bellevue? It's been torn up for over a year as opposed only to take a couple of months. I think maybe
I think between Dave and right. I, we were just discussing this earlier. You know, MSD's got a lot of work going on in their area and with their facilities, and they are in the process of doing a lot of replacement work with their sewer system. And they have run into some issues on their job that were unforeseen. And now that it's open and the work still needs to be done, they have to fix it. So, David, you mentioned earlier that you think they ran into some rock.
Yeah, my understanding is there is a subterranean mass, this immense mass of rock that wasn't known until they began the work.
And that's going to cause a lot of delays with their projects. So, you know, we've tried to beef up the signal timing on Manchester there through Maplewood down to McCausland to adjust for all the traffic using that direction, that detour. But, you know, as soon as it gets back open, we'll all be thankful. But we just got to remember that we have some very old utilities in the area, and they do need to be replaced.
Right. A quick question for you, Deanna, before we go back to the phones. Why are so many St. Louis manhole covers 2 or 3 inches below the street grade? I spent a lot of time trying to dodge them.
It's a good question, and I understand. I actually had to ask this question myself before coming here. What I found out was that they typically need to be reconstructed. Water and MSD, they have risers that we can put in to adjust the sewer lids, and when we find them, we can take the manhole cover off, put the riser in, and put the manhole cover back on, and when everybody, we fix the bump. But a lot of them are Ameren or AT&T manhole covers, and those typically need to be rebuilt. Typically, those are crumbling down below. And so if you report a low manhole cover to us at the city through CSB, their Citizen Service Bureau, at 622-4848, we can contact the proper utility and work on it to get it raised for us.
We'll put that phone number, by the way, on our website.
Great, thank you.
Publicradio.org. Let's take a call from Mike in St. Louis. Go ahead, Mike.
I moved here 40 years ago, and Highway 40 was Vandeventer Overpass and a bunch of stuff, and it's now complete almost. That's 40 years. What's going to happen in the next 30 or 40 years regarding, the planning to go on for the next 30 or 40 years when the changes in technology, the way we drive with Uber, self-driving cars, and who knows what else, we may not need as much infrastructure. And what kind of planning do you do for that?
Who wants to, Tom, do you want to
I'll
take that?
It. Yeah. So that's a great question. And that's one I've been spending a lot of time on beyond my normal role and responsibility. But let me just start by saying that our region, through our municipal planning organization, East West Gateway, works with all of us to create a long range transportation plan. And that looks out 30 years. As I've talked to such regions around the country over the last year, nobody exactly has the exact answer to your question. But don't be alarmed. We're all aware that, and we're all paying attention to that technology change that is going to be disruptive and improve our transportation, mobility, and services. So I've been leading, as I was telling Don before the broadcast, I've been leading for MoDOT our Road to Tomorrow initiative, which is a statewide initiative to actually try to find answers to that question. And try to finance that question. What 21st century transportation solutions are out there, and how should we all plan for them? So I'll turn it over to Deanna, because I think she wants to add some about what the city and all of us have also been doing.
So just recently, we put together an application. Actually, USD DOT came out with a Smart Cities Challenge and put that out to the entire United States. And basically, they're looking for a model city of about our size to come through and develop some of these technologies in place so that we can see what we need to work towards the future as we move towards less cars on the road and maybe less people driving per se, not necessarily less cars in that role, but maybe some automated driving or driverless buses or some type of shuttles in that realm where our vehicles are connected. Our vehicles can stop when they realize they're coming in a collision with another vehicle automatically without you actually touching the brake. So we are working towards that. Some of these things already exist, and we put in an application. Unfortunately, we were not the winners of that, but it gave us a really great baseline. And we worked on that, again, with our partners here. You didn't believe us when we said we didn't talk every, day,
right? I believed you.
So with the county of MoDOT, we actually went together and put on an application for the city of St. Louis and MoDOT and the county to do a Smart Cities application. Kansas City actually turned to be, they're our closest neighbor, who is in the top seven. So we'll know here in a couple months whether they are one of the finalists and will receive that cash award. But we looked for them, learn our lessons from them. They've already started a project. So I'm going to still head up our team here in the city with our partners and kind of inch along, but I'll say learn lessons. We want to learn from them.
We'll have to do a program, and will, I'm sure, on 21st century transportation, where it's going. I'll take one more call as time is beginning to get away. Melanie will join us from Fenton. Go ahead, Melanie.
Hi. I have a comment and a couple of questions concerning Highway 141 through the Valley Park to Fenton area. That traffic, since that highway's been rebuilt, flows very well coming up to there, coming from west. Once you hit about Big Bend, just about every day, that traffic is just at a standstill from about 3:30, 4 o'clock on to 6:30. And it's just through that Valley Park light area. Once you get on the other side to the Fenton area, the traffic flows very well. So one of my questions is, when the highway was rebuilt a few years ago, was that area not bypassed like it was in Manchester to keep the traffic flowing? And the other question would be, are there any plans in the work to remedy some of that extreme traffic flow there?
Thank you. Let's see, who wants to take that? David, Tom?
I'll start. Again, okay. In this case, that's in St. Louis County, so MoDOT's been partnering with St. Louis County on that. And I'm happy to announce to your caller that we actually have some money, not as much as we like, but we have some money to invest in that area. So there is a plan in place. We just recently, earlier this year, selected a design-build contract team to come up with some solutions. Will it solve all the problems that your caller and everyone, and I happen to live in that area, so I drive through it daily. Will it solve all the problems? No, it won't solve all the problems, but it will definitely be a massive improvement in transportation. We expect that project to start later this year. It's actually, again, been awarded. So there's a lot of detail. It's hard to really tell over the radio, but I'd encourage your caller or anyone that's interested to go to MoDOT.org and look at our 141 design-build webpage. It's got all sorts of cool graphics.
We're going to have to end it at this point. Unfortunately, a lot of questions. We'll just have to get together again at some point. A lot of interest, obviously, in this whole subject. Tom Blair, MoDOT, thank you so much for being with us. Deanna Vanker, thank you for being with us from the city of St. Louis. And David Roan from St. Louis County, thank you so much for being
You're
with
welcome.
Us. Most informative indeed. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.